Your Bibles out. We will be returning to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and starting in verse 15. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15, and we'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open up your book of life, we just pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you would have us to learn today. I pray, O Lord, that you give me the proper words to speak, that I represent you properly. But send your Holy Spirit upon this message, Lord. For that is where the power comes from. It comes from you. Amen. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You may be seated. Many of us at different times in our lives have pursued goals or positions or titles. It may be the goal to graduate from high school or from a college. Or we may be going to a place of employment and we're seeking out a position, a title, maybe a manager, a foreman, a supervisor. For me, it was a carpenter, a position that ran in my family's lineage. My grandfather was a carpenter, my father, and now me, or I was, maybe still am. But the thing is, even though that was in my genealogy, it was not something that was just handed to me. One day they didn't just say, here, you are now a carpenter. It was something that had to be earned. I had to study for it. I had to understand it. And then I needed to perform in that position to continue to hold that title. And I'm sure many of us here, all of us I would almost assume, had at times sought out positions, various positions. And many times it may be that we applied or went after different positions during the course of our lives. But there is that one thread that goes through it. It is something you had to study for, work for, and then be assigned that position, given that title because of your performance and your ability to fulfill the duties that that position requires. However, we as believers hold another position. And that position is a little different. It's a position we are given. It is not earned. We do not have the experience for it. It is a title that is handed to us because of the work of another, by Jesus Christ. You know, and this book of Ephesians tells us of that position. What we looked at the last time I preached, I'm going to repeat some of that because it's an Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Because we must realize that this position as a believer in God was handed to us. We did not earn it. As a matter of fact, without it, we didn't even know what to do with it. But it was handed to us. Tells us there in Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. He selected us. He predestined us. And that gives us the title as true believer. We have done nothing to earn that. It is by his working. But because he has given us that title, we are now all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are all part of his earthly church because of that position we hold. And we must understand our position to understand how privileged we are. How privileged we are to be able to perform the duties here on earth for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A position that was just handed to you. Paul tells us of that position in the book of Ephesians, and then today we will look at how he prays for those who have that position. Because in this position, God wants us to perform it perfectly. But again, it is not a position we studied for. It is not a position that we even understood until we hold that title. So it's the complete opposite. We do not earn it. We do not work for it until after we have the position. Whereas our positions here is something that we must work for or earn and perform perfectly or adequately in order to hold. So let's look at the insight that Paul gives on this, starting in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Notice this lesson that Paul, this prayer that Paul is giving, is for believers. He is setting them apart. It is for those who believe in Jesus Christ. But also it's for true believers. Because he's saying for those who love the saints. It's a test of faith when we love one another because we are commanded to do so. There was evidence of faith in this Ephesian church. And that is why Paul is addressing them. Saying, I know your faith. I'm praying for you. Your lives demonstrate your position, your title that you hold. But because these are inspired words, these words are for us as well. You know, our statements of faith are brought to reality by our actions. You know, Paul doesn't say, just because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not enough. Is it affecting your lives, how you live? What he's saying is words are words and promises are promises, but action is reality. Is there the reality of faith in your lives? And that's what he's asking all of us who are reading this now, because these are inspired words. It's for all believers. Now again, we hold that title, that position as a true believer when we've come to faith. And then it's our duty to start to strive to fulfill the duties of that title as faithfully as we can. But as I mentioned earlier, there is a tension. There's always a struggle, an internal fight going on in us. A temptation for the earthly and our duty toward the heavenly. And that's a good thing. That's a good struggle to have. Because then you know that the Holy Spirit is working within your members. We must never be comfortable where we are at life and think that I have achieved all that God would have me achieve. Who knows what other title or position our Lord has for us in the future? What he's preparing us for. And we should, as we grow older in our faith, be more mature, more open to the things of God. But you know, we will never be demoted. We will never be fired from the position that God has given us as true believer. Because it was a gift that was sealed for eternity. Notice in Ecclesiastes 3:14 it says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it. You know, God has done it. The perfect working of Jesus Christ sealed your position as true believer because it is a gift from him. And it is because he dwells in us then. And when he starts dwelling in us as a true believer, he will not leave. In Colossians 2:10, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Forgiving all your sins, all your shortcomings before you even do them. We will not be perfect in Christ, but we are perfectly forgiven. You know, in Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You are perfected for all time. Your position as believer will never be lost. Your title will never be surrendered because you fail. We will fail, but we will also succeed. Because God will forgive us in our failures and we will stand up and go on. We will be matured in faith because we are the partakers of God's divine spirit. The Godhead works within us. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. And that is where that tension comes from, that warring with the flesh. The desires of the flesh, the desires of God. It will continue to go on. But as we mature, we will surrender more and more to the Holy Spirit's leading, depending on the Spirit to guide us. You notice our position that we hold is the key to how we must live our lives now. We were changed. We are transformed. We were given that position, that divine calling, because it pleased God. but we are the greatest benefactors. What were we without that title? You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. In your natural state, you would not be here. You would not seek God. You would still be lost in your sins, because our natural senses would not have brought you to faith. Do you ever wonder why you can talk to a non-believer and give them all the evidence for faith that you can't have, and they just can't see it? It is because God has not given them that position as a believer. It is a gift, the ability just to understand what God has prepared for all those who love him. You know, in Matthew 15:19, it says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Do you realize what a precious position you have been given? In your natural state, you would not have understood anything of the things of God. But not only that, you were an enemy of God. And yet he loved you and gave you that title while you were still his enemy. In Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, so much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. The Bible makes it very clear what we were without that title, that position, that covering of Christ. And we were pretty pathetic and pretty wretched. But those who are true believers, that has been changed. Because now our eyes will see. We will be able to hear. And our hearts will be able to understand what God has prepared for us, what God is doing for us in our lives. You know, there's a transitional point when we become a believer. Things change. We are not directed by our sinful lusts anymore. And there will be struggles. There will be things we will not want to give up. But over time, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and it will transform us if you are a true believer. He will complete the good work in you. It's his work, not your work. And he will give you the ability to complete that work. And that's what Paul's prayer is here for the Ephesians and for all believers. He reveals the power that is at our disposal as holders of the position, the title, as Christian. It's all one sentence. I'm going to read the whole thing starting in verse 16. But it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. We can understand the scriptures only because he gives that to us. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us, who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Do you see what you have in Christ? You have supernatural power. You have power that will go beyond all your human capabilities. You were made for greatness, each and every believer. Each and every believer is called out to serve God where God would have them be in the body. And there is no title, no position that is greater than the other, because they're all equal, because our position is true believer. But you've been given supernatural power, divine intervention in your lives because of the title you hold as true believers. How could Luther step out, or Calvin, or all the many martyrs who died for their faith? It is because they lived beyond their own capabilities. They were able to grasp on to that supernatural power working within us and go far beyond what they could ever believe. It was because the Holy Spirit worked through them. And that power is for all believers. You know, it's his divine power that advances his church. The supernatural force that drives the hands and the feet of his believers to do extraordinary things and ordinary things. But you know, when it comes to the church, there are no ordinary things. Being the best mother or father you can be for your children so they can see Christ in you is a great thing. Assisting a neighbor because you're showing Christ's love is a great thing. All things done for the Spirit of God working in you is a great thing. He says, if you give a glass of water in my name, it is a great thing. It's the condition of the heart. When you're doing it because you hold the position as believer and you're doing it to advance his kingdom, and the Holy Spirit burdens your heart to go beyond your comfort zone and demonstrate his love, perhaps to a stranger. Sharing to a relative who you know does not like the gospel is a great thing, because you're doing it for God, knowing it may bring you wrath of a friend or a relative. But you're doing it to serve the Lord and the King. We have these treasures at our disposal, people. These treasures that will bring us to greatness. When we seek them out through his word and through prayer, when we place Christ first and say, Lord, take my treasures, take my life. And he will use you. He's using you now. He's preparing you now in the trials of life for something greater, greater for him. You know, in Ephesians, if we jump ahead to chapter 4, verse 1, Paul tells us there, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called. The vocation, the position we are called in Christ, he wants us to walk worthy. He wants us to fulfill that position to the best of our abilities. It's a position we hold, but that position has brought that duty upon us. But we are predestined by God to do it. We have been called out and elected to serve him. What greater thing can there be on this earth than to be called out and work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And have his power going through your members to do it? It's when we release all those efforts where we think, well, we have to have this gimmick or that gimmick to advance his kingdom. No, we got his word. Stay faithful to that and say, Lord, help me to be faithful, and then put it in his hands. You can't save anybody. He can. We can't advance his church. He can through us. But it's when we let go of the gimmicks and rely on him. He's our all in all. We are not his all in all. He uses us. But he uses us for greatness. You know, in Romans 13:11, it says, besides this, you know, the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. It's coming. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. When did we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? At our conversion. That is when we have been changed, transformed. That is when the Spirit dwells in us. That is when the Spirit drives us to go for bearing fruit for his kingdom. Tells us in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. And notice this, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Notice all our human efforts, all our desires will get us nowhere. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, he is it that bears much fruit. You know, for apart from me, Christ tells us, you can do nothing. You can do nothing for the kingdom of God apart from him. Now, these are some powerful words because they give us a contrast between believers and the unregenerate. We have been handed that position from Jesus Christ as saints. We are called for greatness to advance his kingdom. That is not given to the unregenerate. They don't have such a privilege. We have it. They can do nothing. Nothing to please God. The only reason we can please God is because we were handed that title, that position. And then he tells us, now you walk and you grow and you fulfill that position. Will our lives be easier when we hold that position? Maybe, maybe not. Some parts of the world you may be killed the day after. But we were made for God. And when we seek out to fulfill that position, to fulfill our calling, it will be the most rewarding thing in our lives. It will give us the most peace and comfort because we are doing what we were created to do, in spite of the difficulties. There will be great reward in it. Because as we pursue it and go after it more heartily, the things of this world are pushed more and more to the side. And the scriptures tell us that God will use us more and more when we're faithful with the little tasks that he has. He will give us greater and greater. That is how Luther, Calvin, and all these other guys advanced to their greatness, because they submitted more and more to his will, and God gave them greater and greater things. We all hold that potential, each and every one as a believer. Again, we were made for greatness. We were not made for mediocrity. Maybe that was not even a word. For simpleness. You know, in Philippians 4:12, it says, "Now that I am speaking of, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." You know, Paul recognized his position and the duties that it brought, the struggles that it brought. But he was satisfied no matter where or what the situation was, even in prison. Because he knew that when he was striving to fulfill his position as a true believer, as close to perfection as he could, that God was with him. And that God was using them, because it says in verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That's for each and every one of us. It is his strength, his wisdom, his guidance that causes us to do all things, things beyond our own capabilities. We have that position, that title as believers. Again, that was granted to us, earned by another. But it has been given to us. Why are you here? The answer should be so that I can be stronger in my faith, more mature in my faith, so I can find the calling that God has called me more clearly and step beyond my comfort zone. Talk about him. In regardless of the circumstances. And there will come that great peace that surpasses all understanding. Because we know that tension, that fight that goes on between our members is now being won more and more by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. You are made for greatness. You should ask yourself, what great thing would you have me to do today, Lord, with your Spirit's help? And that should be a prayer for every day. And we'll see what God will do with this church. Amen. Would the deacons come forward, and we will take the offering for the food pantry.